This Janet Meffer Today podcast is brought to you by Enemies Within the Church, a documentary that will expose the false teachers and underlying agenda to undermine the influence of Christ across the world. For more information, visit enemieswithinthechurch.com.
This is Janet Meffer Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Meffer.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have been listening to the show the last few weeks or following me on social media, you know that we are really excited to announce this upcoming God's Voice Conference. This is a project that I've been working on for many months now with a great team of faithful biblical Christians who have really been just as concerned as I've been about the pro-LGBT Christianity Revoice movement. Now, just to recap, the Revoice Conference took place this past summer at a Presbyterian Church in America congregation in St. Louis. The PCA is a historically conservative denomination, which is why it was so alarming. And this conference claimed it was about supporting and encouraging gay, lesbian, same-sex attracted, and other LGBT Christians so they can flourish while observing the historic Christian doctrine of marriage and sexuality. Well, the first problem is saying that there can be such a thing as an LGBT Christian. But the conference went on to promote the false categories of sexual minorities and sexual orientation. It highlighted the progressive cause of intersectionality, and even worse, abominations like queer treasure in heaven. And it was terrible, and it was indicative of a movement that has now embedded itself inside once biblically faithful Christian churches and denominations. So on February 22nd and 23rd, 2019, in Oklahoma City, a number of us are taking a stand against this movement that threatens to invade all of our churches through an incremental gay activist approach. Again, it is called God's Voice, a biblical response to the queering of the church. You can find out more at godsvoice.us. And we are going to stand on the word of God. We're going to educate and train Christians on how they can fight back against this movement in their own churches. And most of all, we are going to offer the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ to every person struggling with homosexuality or gender confusion. The Lord Jesus came to set the captives free. Amen. So it's our hope and prayer. You can come. You can go to godsvoice.us, or there's a banner to click at janetmeffer.com. Well, on today's show, Peter LaBarber is joining me, president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. He will be a speaker at God's Voice, has been an invaluable member of the team exposing Revoice for these many months. He's a key person who's been planning this conference with me and some others. And we're going to talk today about how we got here and how and why biblically faithful Christians must stand on God's word at this hour to combat the infiltration of gay activism into our churches. And always a delight to have you here, Peter. Welcome, and so glad to have you.
Oh, thanks, Janet. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, it's great. I want to go back a few months. I know you and I have been working on this conference with a great team of Christians. It's just been a joy to put this all together, and we're excited about what the Lord's going to do. What was your reaction when you first heard about Revoice? Because you've been in this, you've been an activist on this issue for so many years, Peter. And can you remember when you first heard about Revoice and what you thought about it?
Yeah, remember, Janet, we joked about how the Christians, it seems, when it comes to public policy and culture, sometimes are like decades behind. So now they've discovered this thing called a sexual minority in the church. Well, guess what? The first homosexual activist who happened to have been a communist, Harry Hay, you know, came up with sexual minority in the, 1950s. So this is an old concept. It elevates an identity rooted in sin and aberrance and, homosexuality, which God calls an abomination, behavior. We're talking about behavior, and it turns it into an identity. And that's nothing new, but it is new to make that part and parcel of a church discussion. That just doesn't fit.
No, it doesn't fit. So what is the advantage for the gay activist taking the behavior of homosexuality and transforming it into an identity? How does that help their cause?
Well, you're not responsible for your identity. That's basically it. Look at all the language that surrounds the LGBTQ movement. And by the way, Q stands for queer, and they've embraced that word now. So you've got sexual orientation. Oh, I have no control over it. That's just my orientation. Look at the word gay. He's gay. We say it like, you know, he's black, he's Hispanic, he's gay. Well, the difference is one of those is changeable. You can't change blackness. You can't change being Latino or Hispanic. You can't change your ethnicity, but you can change your behavior. And so by making it an identity, what you do is you take your moral responsibility away. And that's what they're sort of doing incrementally, I believe, by recognizing LGBTQ in the church.
Yeah. So now, Harry Hay, tell us a little bit about Harry Hay, because for a lot of listeners, I'm sure they'll say, what, there was gay activism back in the 50s, all the way back in the 50s?
Yeah, it's just very sad. He was a guy who was an adulterer. He started having secret meetings about, he came up with this idea of you know, he was really one of the early gay activists. And I shouldn't use the word gay, but an activist surrounding homosexuality. And at the time, there were hardly any open homosexuals. And so he was, he organized through something called the Mattakeen Society. These were the early homosexual activists, far less radical. Well, they were very radical, but not the the brazen approach that came after Stonewall. And he was a communist, Janet. He was a member of the Communist Party, but his big contribution was this concept of a sexual minority. And we know that in America, minorities of whatever stripe have been viewed sympathetically. And I think that was the huge step forward, was two things: gay identity, and of course now there's different identities. There's gender queer, transgender, but the idea of an identity rooted in aberrant and sinful and even taboo behaviors of the past, and then this idea of the minority. And we see how that has just grown exponentially now, to the point where this so-called gay minority has tremendous power in our society, and you know, even shifted the election that we just saw in the midterms.
Right. Well, now when you talk about Stonewall and what happened after the Stonewall riots, and I know we're coming up, aren't we, to the 50th anniversary next year, I think you said.
Yeah, 50th anniversary of Stonewall, and that was an anti-cop rebellion. The cops had cracked down in this bar, which was actually had mafia connections, as many of the gay bars did at the time. I didn't know that until I started reading about it. The mafia was able, you know, they used the gays like they used everybody else. This was a riot, an anti-police riot. They're trying to say it's the equivalent of Selma. You know, this ripoff of the civil rights movement that we've seen the LGBTQ lobbyists do. And, you know, they're going to try to tell us this is like Martin Luther King. And it's up to us to get the word out that what Stonewall brought America was this very vocal, very strident, very aggressive activism. I mean, they would get up in the face of politicians and start screaming, you know, what about the homosexuals? It was this activism that was where they tried to force the idea of homosexuality as a civil right.
Right, which has worked out well for them, because now they have multi-million-dollar organizations like the Human Rights Campaign that actually goes around and ranks companies, as we know, on how pro-homosexual their policies are. So they seem to have moved from victim to oppressor. I mean, if you look at somebody like Jack Phillips or Baron L. Stutzman, have they not reversed their position as oppressed to oppressor?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they talk about inclusion and diversity, and yet what do? They campaign against ex-gays. Why won't they just leave the ex-gays alone? People who've overcome homosexuality, people who are detransitioning, in other words, they once tried to change their sex through this it's very misguided and destructive transgender movement. Now they're trying to go back to what their God-given sex is and gender. This gay movement, like you said, which was once, you know, sought this victim status, is now completely willing to victimize others. And all of us get victimized, Janet, because we are called haters and bigots and homophobes and all sorts of terrible names just because we defend biblical morality.
Right. And one of the places I know that you've experienced that has been Facebook. That seems to be the place that all Christians who speak out on the issue of homosexuality seem to be torn down. Their pages are torn down. Their comments are torn down. And I know you've been going through that. I want to talk about that in a little bit more detail when we come back from the break. But here's the thing. When we talk about Revoice, what we're now talking about is the movement of homosexual activism coming under the door like a gas and seeping into not the liberal mainline congregations, because they're already full-blown pro-homosexuality, but coming in under the door into biblically faithful churches and denominations. It's why we're putting on God's voice. We're going to come back with Peter LaBarbera on Janet Mefford Today right after this. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? We're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you'll access health care, so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 per month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. Regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. That number again, 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. Socialism is being purposely dressed up in Christian choir robes by once trusted and very influential church leaders. Their gatherings are growing in numbers as they shelve the true gospel and replace it with a false one known as the social gospel. What is this agenda to undermine the influence of Christ across the world? And whatever happened to powerful biblical Christianity? Noted producers Judd Saul, Trevor Loudon, Curtis Bowers, and Pastor Kerry Gordon of Cornerstone Church have joined forces to create enemies within the church, a hard-hitting international documentary that will reveal the plans and the players behind this movement and shine a bright light of restoration and hope upon Christ's church. To stay updated about this film and learn how you can support this important effort, go to enemieswithinthechurch.com and subscribe to the Enemies Within the Church newsletter. While you're there, be sure to enjoy a sneak peek of the movie. Go now to enemieswithinthechurch.com, sponsored by Cornerstone World Outreach International. That's enemieswithinthechurch.com. We are back on Janet Mefford Today. So glad to have you with us. I remember when I first heard about the Revoice Conference in early May, this pro-LGBT Christianity conference held in St. Louis. And we did tons of shows on this and we gave it a lot of publicity. And it was really, really an answer to prayer to see so many Christians resonate and say, what in the world is going on? We have got to do something to stand against this lie coming into our churches that you can be an LGBTQ plus Christian and you can flourish and you can be identified as a homosexual or what have you. I don't even know what plus all encompasses anymore. So we are really excited about the God's Voice Conference. This is our response. We've been working on this behind the scenes for a long time now, and we've been excited to announce this in the last few weeks. The God's Voice Conference is coming up in Oklahoma City, February 22nd and 23rd, 2019, and this will be a biblical response to the querying of the church. We're laying down the gauntlet here and saying, you can have your Metropolitan Community Church, you can have your PCUSA, your United Church of Christ, do whatever you want to do, but you're not going to come into our churches and change the Bible. Peter LaBarbera is with me. He'll be a speaker at God's Voice, and we're going through some of this confusion that is coming upon biblically faithful churches now. Now, Peter, you hold the distinction of having been kicked out of Revoice, and just for people who might not know what happened to you, what went on? And tell people a little bit about what went on. You wanted to go to Revoice because you wanted to hear what they had to say, and you were unceremoniously booted. What happened?
Right, and I think this is very instructive about the purpose of Revoice. All we did was, I said I'd like to go. I paid my, I think it was $90 or whatever it was to go, and I didn't use a false name or anything, and I didn't intend on disrupting. I intended on going and hearing what they had to say, just what you're saying, Janet. And since they talk about inclusion and diversity, you'd think they would be open to that. And if they're truly Christian, why would they want to kick out somebody who defends biblical mores? And so I got that, and all, you know, everything was fine, I thought, I was planning to go. And then I got an email from Nate Collins, who said, you're disinvited because you're not going to, you've been deemed to be harmful to our mission. And then he said, if you have any questions, just write me. And so I wrote a series of questions. You can find them on our website, AmericansForTruth.org. And he never responded to the questions, and so he wasn't serious about that. And I think what this shows is that people like Nate Collins and many of these so-called LGBTQ Christians are really more loyal to so-called gay activism than they are faithful to the Bible.
Right. Right. Well, they'll say, though, we're not for practicing homosexuality, but you can embrace your identity and live a faithful celibate life. Now, we've done a lot of material on the show breaking that all apart, but fundamentally, that's just not really holding water, is it? That's not the biblical position.
Yeah, and it's so confusing, and it relies on a lot of gay cliches. When I say gay, I mean gay activists. For example, spiritual friendships. Well, guys have friendships with other guys. That's what, you know, it's called brotherly love, Christians especially. Why do you have to make that sort of a gay thing?
Yeah.
You know, because they're talking about these spiritual friendships between two, I guess, LGBTQ Christians. Why are you adding homosexuality to that? There are friendships between men, friendships between women that have no erotic, you know, context to them. So what does it add to the equation by making it homosexual? And this is the problem with the movement. It really relies on a lot of the falsehoods that undergird LGBTQ ideology, and yet it tries to pass itself off as faithfully Christian.
Well, where do you see some of the historic tactics of homosexual activism coming to play with the Revoice crowd? What have you seen in terms of similarities?
Okay, you asked me to make a list, and so, like the good student I am, I did the homework that you asked. Okay.
You get an A.
I listed, number one, a huge thing is sexual identity. We've already talked about that. So you have an identity rooted in, ultimately, behavior which God condemns. So how does that make sense? We don't have special conferences for lustful Christians, or, here's our gossiping Christians conference. Here's our porn-using Christians conference. So why would we have one for, here's our homosexual Christians conference? It makes no sense. Which is not to say all those issues are big problems in the church, but we don't elevate the sin by claiming you can be faithful and have an identity somehow rooted in that sin.
Right.
Another one is coming out. That was a huge part of the movement. Coming out is really probably the strongest factor in the phenomenal growth of so-called gay power in our culture, because what it does is it takes advantage of the power of relationships. If you come out as gay, hey, Jan, I'm your gay friend now. Well, then they know that when people have friends who are openly, proudly homosexual, that it makes that person far less likely to oppose a movement, a pride movement rooted in that, gay lifestyle. Right.
Right.
And so now when you bring that into the church, what's it going to do? They know that it's going to make people less likely to be opposed to gay advocacy.
Yes.
And that's the way they do that is through false compassion, which is also on my list. This sort of false compassion, which says that somehow you have to give recognition to homosexuality in order to be compassionate to homosexuals. And I don't understand why. You can be compassionate. You love people with the love of Christ, which is what we do, but you love them enough to tell them the truth about homosexuality, and that there's no identity rooted in that sin. There's no reason to be a gay advocate to love people who struggle with homosexuality.
Right, right. Well, for
and then another one I have was incrementalism, which you talked about. It goes slowly. It starts out saying they're faithful to biblical sexuality, but you better believe there are going to be people advocating for gay marriage, gay relationships within this LGBTQ Christian movement.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's take, for example, Julie Rogers. People might not remember that name, or they'll say, I know the name, but I can't remember who she was. She was hired at Wheaton College as the celibate, same-sex attracted lesbian who was for the biblical position and against acting on your temptations. And she was put in this position at Wheaton College, and there were a number of Christians who said, I don't think this is such a good idea. Now she's getting quote unquote married to a woman. So that didn't take very long. And when you talk about Nate Collins, the founder of Revoice, he's married to a woman, but he says that he is in a mixed orientation marriage. That's not a biblical concept. He is having this conference, Revoice, and pushing this Revoice conference, but he's also involved with a group called Love Boldly. And we've done some information, you know, distribution on this. Love Boldly is a ministry that has in its leadership a lesbian who works for the Human Rights Campaign, or recently worked for the Human Rights Campaign, who has a female so-called wife. So here is Nate Collins, for example, talking on the one hand with Revoice about celibacy, but he's only too happy to partner in another ministry with somebody who's not celibate at all and doesn't care and is involved with the world's largest homosexual lobbying group. So
right, and a very anti-Christian lobby.
Oh, yeah.
The Human Rights Campaign is nasty. You should have seen what they did on the Kavanaugh nomination, by the way. But yeah, so the bottom line is Nate Collins would invite Julie Rogers. He would never ban Julie Rogers, and yet he banned me, yeah, and he banned Stephen Black, who is an ex-homosexual who was freed from this sin through Jesus Christ. So if Stephen Black's out, Julie Rogers, he never would ban. You know, obviously he works with biblically unfaithful homosexual activists. And so you see the contradiction in there, and that contradiction thrives in this movement.
Right. Well, and Love Boldly now targeting youth pastors. This is the next thing. And they're trying to get youth pastors to reach out to LGBT youth, not to help them forsake their sin and find their true identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, but to affirm them in their so-called identity. It's very dangerous. And it was interesting to me, Nate Collins had a tweet not too long ago, Peter, you might have seen this, on National Coming Out Day, in which he said, praying for gender and sexual minorities who make the very personal decision to come out publicly today. Well, if you're really promoting the historic Christian version of sexuality, why in the world would you be congratulating people for their sexual minority status, which also isn't biblical, and congratulating them on coming out? Wouldn't you be saying, listen, there's a better way. Let me tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ. These people, this is the thing. On the one hand, they want to look like faithful Christians, but when you start digging into what they're actually saying elsewhere, it contradicts the PR that they're putting out there.
Absolutely. It's a veneer. It's false, but it's the perfect movement for a dumbed down nation, I think, because it's going to throw out, I noticed that these guys, sometimes they appear like they're biblically strong, and then other times they're like talking about gay, you know, they're sort of mimicking parts of gay ideology and gay semantics. I'm talking gay activists, of course. And it just doesn't, like you said, it's contradictory. And I'm so thankful that you and Tom Littleton and others put this thing together, because we need clarity in the church. We need to separate out the chaff. We are in a time now, and you alluded to my Facebook page, Janet. I just had my whole Facebook page for Americans for Truth About Homosexuality taken down by Facebook on the guise that, under the guise that we violated their hate standard. We are in a time when Christians are being persecuted for standing up for biblical truth.
Yes.
We don't need more confusion. We need to solidify and embrace the Word of God, and we are the ones with the moral authority, only because we're defending God's values, you know, God's truth. That's where our moral authority comes from. We don't need it watered down by this counterfeit Christian movement.
No, and the real danger that I think all of us have seen is the fact that they have their target, and it's us. It's biblically faithful Christians who are honoring the Word of God in their churches, and they're coming in with some of the tactics you discussed, which is, don't you have compassion on people who are struggling? And it's all this kind of psychological-based PR that breaks down barriers, people's moral barriers, to say, well, I don't want to seem hateful, but that their end is no good. They're not trying to make the church more biblically faithful. They're trying to undermine biblical faithfulness.
Right. And I think also it's rooted in pride, because why do you need to have that identity? That false identity.
Yeah, right.
You know, when I got saved, I knew what I had done before was wrong. I mean, I drank a lot in college and stuff. You know, I didn't want to have all those identities remain. We are new. We have a new identity in Jesus Christ.
That's
and
it.
I don't understand this. I think it's
I don't
really,
either. It Peter, hang on a second. We got to run to a break. We're going to come back, though. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Enemies Within the Church, a documentary that will expose the false teachers and underlying agenda to undermine the influence of Christ across the world. For more information, visit enemieswithinthechurch.com. Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. Great to have you with us. We are so excited about our God's Voice Conference. It's coming up February 22nd and 23rd, 2019 in Oklahoma City. You can go to godsvoice.us, godsvoice.us, and find out all the information. I'm going to be there. Peter LaBarbera from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, who's joining me this hour, will be there. He's going to be speaking on some of the tactics, the background of homosexual activism in America. And it's all a response to this Revoice movement that we've spent so much time covering over the last several months. There is a concerted effort to change biblically faithful Christian churches and denominations and turn them, for lack of a better term, pro-gay, Peter. And we know that this is what it's all about. Can you talk a little bit about this issue of what the church ought to be doing now? Because we're really excited about all the great speakers we're going to have who are approaching this from different angles. But for the average Christian listening who says, I agree, there's no such thing as LGBTQ Christianity. This is just wrong. But what am I supposed to do if I'm in a church or a denomination where this stuff is seeping in? How do I combat this? What's the first thing that I ought to do?
Well, I think the church needs to shore up Christians in the biblical truth that they need to go out and witness for Jesus in our dying culture, and not be so afraid, and not being like, oh, we need specialists to handle this issue all the time.
Yeah,
you know, what the movement has done is it has intimidated people. The LGBTQ movement has intimidated so many people in our culture, and it's like a pincer movement. So many pressures. You got the corporations now who are effectively, you know, basically have been bullied by the homosexual lobby into giving huge sums of money to homosexual activism. And then you've got the media, even conservative media. I mean, you turn on Fox News these days, you're as likely to see a so-called gay conservative like Tammy Bruce or Guy Benson as you are anybody else.
Yeah.
This is on what was once the sort of the conservative network. So everywhere you go is this pressure. And yet it doesn't change the truth of God, which is revealed in the Word of God, the Bible. And so I think it's the duty of Christians and churches and pastors to shore up Christians and educate them and help them go out into the world and witness for the truth in the love of Jesus.
Amen. You said something really key, Peter, which was people need to stop being afraid. How do you get people to stop being afraid? That's the trick. There are a lot of people who say, I believe this and I want to stand, but I really don't want to stand up too much because I don't want this woman in the pew next to me who has a gay son to think I'm being hate-filled. How do you get over your fear and have biblical courage?
Yeah, can I amend it to not just fear, it's also don't be a wimp.
Right.
You know, don't be a coward.
Yes.
Because we can always rationalize and say, well, oh, I can't do a thing. Oh, you know, I should remain silent while my friend is being persecuted, or I shouldn't like that Facebook comment, or maybe my page will be taken down. I mean, there's all sorts of calculations we make in our mind to rationalize our behaviors. And I think there is fear, but I think there's also a lot of cowardice out there, and people are just not understanding the value of standing with God. I mean, that is the privilege we have. It is a privilege. It's not just, we don't just have the right to stand against homosexual so-called marriage. It's really one of our sacred duties as believers,
yes,
right?
Right.
You know, we always talk about, oh, well, we should have the right to do this. No, it's our duty to stand with God for truth against evil forces in our society, be it abortion on demand, pornography, positive homosexuality, extreme gender confusion. I mean, we're actually at the point now in our culture where we have these transgender activists promoting these false identities to children, and these children want to harm their bodies because they reject the femininity or the masculinity that God gave them in their bodies. They're rejecting that. They hate that. This is what we're seeing, and we're not standing up. Come on.
I know. Here's my question also, which is, if not the church, then who? Who will be left if the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't stand up against this madness? Who will be left? And I believe that's exactly why these activists are targeting our churches, because they want to neutralize any effectiveness that we have to speak biblically on this issue that is just sucking everybody up like the Borg. I mean, how do you wrestle with that question, Peter, about the weakness of the church at an hour like this and why it is we have to actually stand up with courage and say, you know what, this far and no further. We're not going to let you queer our churches.
Right, exactly. We have to be the Winston Churchills of the Christian church.
Yeah.
Never get in. You're right, it's a subversive movement, and it wants to neutralize the church. And I can't remember the name of that other more radical gay Christian group, Janet, but remember it described itself as a subversive movement, the one that was in Biola.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, I'm not.
She was active at Biola, and I'm sorry I can't remember the name, but she describes on her website that it is a subversive movement.
Yes.
I thought, well, at least she's being honest.
Yeah, the college group.
Of course it's subversive.
Yeah, the college group, the one that's working on all the Christian college campuses.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were honest enough to call themselves subversive, and that's what they are. And this will, of course, you better believe the more radical gay activists, Human Rights Campaign, et cetera, they're loving this movement because they want to weaken Christianity, because they know Christianity, faithful Christians, are the last bulwark against their oppressive, aggressive, freedom-crushing agenda, and it will crush freedom.
Exactly. Well, remember, the Human Rights Campaign came out, curiously enough, right around the time of the Revoice Conference with this faith guide. It's called Coming Home, Evangelicalism, And to Self, or something like that. Yeah, that's what it was. Coming Home to Evangelicalism and to Self, a guide for LGBTQ evangelical Christians. And it says HRC worked with an advisory team of evangelical Christian scholars and advocates to develop and shape this essential resource. This is basically them putting out this guide on how to queer evangelical churches. It's nothing less than that. And I wonder how many pastors even know that this is going on.
Right. I mean, Human Rights Campaign is a very slick and strategic organization. I mean, getting a guide for Christianity from the Human Rights Campaign would be like getting a guide on chastity from Wilt Chamberlain. You know, I mean, this is just nonsensical. These guys are antithetical to faithful Christianity. They say the Human Rights Campaign champions coming out. They made an icon out of Harvey Milk's house. Harvey Milk was the San Francisco homosexual supervisor who encouraged everybody to come out. Well, guess what? He also liked younger men, underage boys. In fact, he had a relationship with an underage boy. This is Human Rights Campaign, and they're going to guide us on the Bible and Christianity?
Yeah, no, that's not going to work. Well, this is the thing. How big do you think the threat is in terms of the same tactics of the secular activist groups coming into the church? Because I do get some people commenting to me, you guys are just overblowing this. You know, you have some Christians who, you know, they just struggle with temptation and they're still for biblical faithfulness. How can you guys go from that to worrying about activism undoing Christian theology within conservative churches? What's your take on that?
They're totally wrong. It's a huge threat. And here's why. Because which group do you think the media is going to back? They're going to back whatever gay Christian ideology or group or movement they can.
Right.
Because the media is hostile to faithful Christianity, whether it's on abortion, pornography, or homosexuality. The media is hostile to that. So they will be rewarding the Nate Collinses of the world. They won't be rewarding Janet Mefford.
No.
And so there's going to be more and more worldly pressure brought to bear against the people who are standing faithfully with the Word of God.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I remember the name of the group, Brave Commons. That's the name of the subversive group. Yes.
Brave Commons.
Took me a minute. I'm getting old, you know.
You're sharper than I am.
Nah, you know, there's a lot to remember.
I'm not going to say if you're older or younger, because I know you don't do that.
No, it's okay.
But a woman.
Yeah, just, you know, eventually it shows up. You know, those words are dancing around in the head, and I just can't grab it. I need like a fishnet or something like that. But yeah, when we talk about people being wrong, this is exactly why we want to do the God's Voice Conference and why we're so excited about it. And again, if you want more information on the God's Voice Conference, you can go online to godsvoice.us. And by the the way. We're also on Facebook for now. We'll see how long we can stay out there.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that. But God's Voice Conf is also where we are on Twitter, and we're on Instagram. We're going to be all over social media, and we want you to come February 22nd and 23rd in Oklahoma City to stand against the queering of the church. We're going to come right back with Peter LaBarbera after this. I like to read, and whenever I can, I like to read the Puritans. John Gerstner once said that the Puritans constituted the greatest movement in the church since the days of the apostles. That's quite an endorsement. I'd like to recommend a publisher committed to the writings of these godly men. It's called Northampton Press. Men such as Jonathan Edwards, Thomas Watson, Jeremiah Burroughs, and John Bunyan are just a few of the great preachers they've put back into print for us. Many of these titles have not been available since the 1600s, but now they are in print. These books have been retypeset, slightly updated for modern readers, and printed in such a way as to last hundreds of years. I can personally recommend them to you, having read many of them myself. Mention Janet Mefford in the comment section of the order form and receive a free copy of the book Law and Liberty, A Biblical Look at Legalism with any purchase. For more information, visit their website at northamptonpress.org. And remember, it's NORTHamptonPress.org. How can Christians stand on God's word at a time when radical activists want to compromise the church on the issue of biblical sexuality? A rising tide of LGBT activism is becoming apparent inside our churches. Wearing a religious facade, these activists talk about LGBT Christians and sexual minorities, and their goal is to move our churches away from the word of God. It's time for the church to defend biblical truth without compromise. That's why I'd like to invite you to join me, Janet Mefford, at the God's Voice Conference, a biblical response to the queering of the church. Sponsored by First Stone Ministries, God's Voice will bring clarity to the confusion surrounding revoiced sexuality and identity. Our team of experts will demonstrate how the language of the LGBT Christian movement is rooted not in the Bible, but in the same ideology that has wreaked havoc on our culture. The God's Voice Conference will take place February 22nd and 23rd in Oklahoma City, and we want to see you there. It's time for the church to bow the knee to God's voice. To register or for more information, visit godsvoice.us. That's godsvoice.us. We are back on Janet Mefford today, talking with Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth, about homosexuality. You can check out his great ministry at americansfortruth.org. Peter has been all over this homosexuality issue and the activist movement for many, many years. He knows more than most people have ever learned on the activist tactics on the homosexual issue. And you're going to be speaking at our God's Voice Conference February 22nd and 23rd in Oklahoma City, Peter. You've been such an integral part of our team planning this conference for the last several months. Talk a little bit, if you would, about what you're going to be bringing to Christians who attend this conference and what they'll be learning specifically from you if they come.
Well, I think mine is going to focus on the history of homosexual activist tactics. And Janet, it's interesting that you brought up that checklist. That's another parallel.
Yeah.
You know, we've done shows on the HRC checklist. It's called the CEI Index for corporations. And what they do is every couple of years, they make it more and more stringent to the point where corporations, to get 100% perfect ranking by this homosexual activist group, HRC, they have to have transgender operations as part of healthcare, employee healthcare.
Wow.
Right? So every couple of years or every year, whatever, it gets more and more tight, and they get more and more demands because they know that the corporation has 100% ranking. It wants to keep it, and so they keep ramping up the criteria. Now you have this LGBT queer church movement, Christian movement, and what do they have? A checklist. Oh, well, do you think that's going to get more and more stringent? Of course it is. If I were to make a prediction, I'd say by 2030, you're going to have, if a church doesn't marry, or maybe by 2020, if a church doesn't marry homosexuals, they don't get a good 100% ranking on the so-called LGBTQ church checklist.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing but a version of homosexual activism using the same similar tactics coming into the church, and it's a very frightening phenomenon.
Well, let me give an example of that, and I know I've talked about this before, but for people who don't know about this, the Living Out organization, it's in the UK, it's headed up by Sam Alberry, who is an editor at the Gospel Coalition, and many people know that name. He put out a church audit, and he introduced this when Tim Keller was speaking at his conference last summer, and it was, how biblically inclusive is your church? 10 statements to help you audit your church family. Now, this is just the human rights campaign stuff in new packaging. That's all it is. Number 9 on this list, what you're supposed to put in front of your church family is this question. Church family members instinctively share meals, homes, holidays, festivals, money, and children with others from different backgrounds and life situations to them. Well, when we discovered this, we started going a little nuts about this. What are you insinuating here? That churches have to share their children with homosexuals in the congregation? Are you not aware of what's been going on in the Roman Catholic Church? Are you crazy? Well, now they've dialed this back, Peter. They changed it. They changed the audit and they took it out because they were getting so much pushback on it. And yet Living Out is continuing to push into churches in the United States now. They were going to be going to Capitol Hill Baptist Church, Mark Devers Church, the head of Nine Marks. Now that's not going to happen. They're going to a different church, Garrett Kell's church. They were going to have this and that. Now they're going to be doing a course. I can't remember if it's in all these churches, but Ed Shaw now with Living Out is going to be coming to Reformed Theological Seminary. Ligon Duncan, again, Mark Dever, Ligon Duncan, these guys are all tied to the Gospel Coalition. Big, big names in evangelicalism. So this is why it's so worrisome. It's not one outlier named Nate Collins, who before Revoice, nobody had ever heard of. You've got ties of the Revoice movement to people who ought to know better and ought to be standing up and repudiating this stuff with us.
Yes, and I fear there's worldlyism at the root of it. That's the problem. Of course, the demands are going to grow bigger and bigger. But in a culture in which the Bible is becoming more and more irrelevant when it comes at least to sexuality, especially, I mean, you see the Gallup numbers on gay marriage, right?
Right.
I think they're saying well over 60% now in support of homosexual so-called marriage. Of course, that happened after Obama forced the legalization of it through Obergefell in the courts in 2015.
Right.
But why isn't aren't these churchmen thinking, how can we stem that tide instead of going to this sort of like gay ideology, gay semantics? Oh, let's affirm LGBTQ Christians. Why does the church tickle its ears with that rather than take the tough stand? Well, I think we know why, because the tough stand brings ridicule and persecution, and you're not loved by the media if you stand true on the homosexual issue.
Well, Peter, I think you agree with me on this. I don't really care if the media likes me or not. I don't really care. I have to stand before the Lord my God one day and answer to him. He is the only one who matters. His word is the only thing upon which we ought to be standing. And just like Christians in church history who stood alone at different critical junctures of truth versus error, this is our hour. I mean, this is why we're doing the God's Voice Conference, because we know there are a lot of Christians out there who agree with us on this. We've been hearing from them. I know you've been hearing from them. Tom Littleton, Stephen Black, we've all been hearing from these people. I certainly have, saying, I'm so glad you're saying this. And one of the laments I hear again and again, Peter, is, why aren't other people saying this too? Why is it that we haven't seen some of these huge names stepping out with biblical conviction and saying enough is enough? We're going to stand on the word of God. Well, I'm through asking that question, Peter. We're ready to take a stand, and we're ready for anybody who wants to come to our conference to stand with us.
Yeah, we're not even going to ban people like Nate Collins.
No, we want them there. Yeah. We want them there.
I'm going to put a plug in for the conference too, Janet. And thank goodness and thank God, I should say, that you're there holding all these Christians accountable, because you're the leader in that. But I'm just looking forward to hearing the other speakers.
Me too.
I mean, Bobby Lopez is brilliant.
Yep.
Stephen Black has such a wonderful testimony. I mean, it's going to be tremendous. I'm looking forward to hearing these people. And this is something the church needs. We need to stop playing politically correct games. I'm tired of the political correctness in the church. I know what the homosexual activists are about. They're all about rationalizing their sinful lifestyle. That's the bottom line. They're desperate to rationalize their own sin. And it's very sad, and we need to pray for them. I need to pray more. But I can't stand it when the Christians start to bend towards that political correctness.
No, I agree. If you had, going back to what you said earlier about, you know, temptations, and you're going to form a conference around temptations, what if you're a porn-attracted Christian and you say, well, I'm not looking at porn currently, but I just want to live faithfully being a porn-attracted Christian? We'd call them crazy. We'd say, you shouldn't, come on, you know, mortify the sin that still is clinging to you. You know, let's go to these
Another
Bible passages.
Another example, Janet, is fornication.
Sure, of course.
It's a rarely used word, but we know that's a huge problem in the church.
Yes.
And yet,
yep,
we don't see fornication parades.
Nope, we don't. But I'm with you. I'm really looking forward to all of these people who are going to be speaking. We have a terrific lineup. You're going to hear testimonies from Christians who have been set free from homosexuality for many years. They've gone on to get married and have families of their own. I know Bobby Lopez is going to be talking about that, Stephen Black. But the most important thing I think that's going to come out of all this, Peter, is we want to encourage Christians to stand firm and also to give hope to people who are struggling, to say, you are not saddled with this for the rest of your life. The Lord can set you free from your sin, just like he sets people free every day from all kinds of sin. And that's the most exciting part. If you have a gospel that can't actually transform somebody's life, what kind of gospel do you have? And that's, we have real hope. It's why we want the Revoice leaders to come and hear what we have to say. We want people who are going to not necessarily agree with everything that we say, but are willing to listen, to come. We want people to come. That's what Christians ought to be about.
Right. Yeah, I say that the ex-gay movement, now this ex-trans movement, is the greatest story never told.
Amen.
By the
it
media.
Is. It
the
is.
Media hates that truth.
Yep. Yep.
And we love it.
No, I know. I know. And we know, you know, probably way more people than I know, but I know a lot of people now who have been set free from homosexuality. I know ex-transgenders who are some of the most on-fire Christians you'll ever meet. And you talk to those Christians, and they're not going to say anything like Nate Collins and that crowd are saying. They're saying, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was coming to know the Lord, because finally my life was transformed and I wasn't held in bondage to that sin anymore. And that is a message that this culture needs to hear, Peter.
Yes, and there's a lot at stake because our young people are so confused. We're seeing rising numbers of LGBTQ identification among young people. And of course we would see that when the whole culture, when it's so ubiquitous, all this pro-LGBT stuff, everywhere you turn, of course that's going to start affecting young people.
Right, which is why we're doing this. So if you're interested in coming to God's Voice, we would love to have you. Again, you can go online to godsvoice.us. Click the banner at janetmefford.com for more information. You can find out what we're up to in the speaker lineup, and you can get a hotel. And it's just going to be a tremendous time of fellowship and encouragement and education. You're going to learn more than you could possibly know that you didn't know when you come to God's Voice. So check it out at godsvoice.us, and you'll want to hear Peter LaBarbera because he is just fantastic. Peter, always good to have you with us. Thank you so much, and we really appreciate your ministry.
Thank you. God bless, Janet.
God bless you. Godsvoice.us. We hope to see you in February in Oklahoma City. We're super excited. Would love to see you there. I'm really, really looking forward to it. The Lord's going to move. We'll see you next time here on Janet Mefford Today.